In this exciting episode of Candy Teeth Radio, the crew is joined by Daniel Blue, the lead singer of the Seattle band Motopony. Daniel tells tales of recording with Motopony at Abbey Road Studios in England, and how he was asked back to record a solo album, and did. He also tackles the awkward subject of trying on a new sober life, and how it's different creatively. Tune in for three different Motopony songs. There are three songs on this episode: She Is Spirit, from Motopony Naked at the Abbey; Molly, from 2010 Live at Pianos in New York. Jeremy captured this audio while he was on assignment for City Arts magazine covering the band's accelerated rise, and the third song was recorded live in the corridor of the Ghost office during the recording of this podcast. Stay tuned to the very end for And Candy Teeth Exposé, The Permanent Problem with Sharpie. All right, slip your thinking ears on and enjoy the show. Thanks for listening and stay alive.
Where's Jeff?
He's smoking cigarettes. Oh. He really is.
I know that.
You know that one?
No, I know that game.
Did you do that?
I did.
Are you done?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
That was hard.
Yeah, that one seems like it's hard.
That's harder than most of them.
Yeah.
I think. But what's really hard is just life.
Yeah.
And that's why all the other stuff is hard, because it gets you away from what you think life is. It's an escape.
Yeah.
So the hard thing's not really the cigarettes at all. It's just life.
Like going the other way without the cigarettes.
It's just, yeah. It's like stress and stuff.
Yeah.
What the hell do you do if you can't smoke a cigarette? Punch someone?
What do you do? Get mad.
I just told you. Meditate and breathe and stuff.
Yeah, I can see that.
Right now, I'm just freaking out.
Yeah.
But we're not even recording yet. We should save it for the show. And breathing's good. I was freaking out the other night. My wife was like, count your breaths. I was like, that's bullshit. I have real life problems going on right now. I'm mad at my keyboard player. How the boy do I count my breaths? And then I was just like, all right, whatever.
One.
Yeah. And by like 15, I forgot about what I was mad about. I was just like drifting on a pink cloud.
Yeah.
It works. It's like, wait, what? I fell asleep.
Yeah. She's got you. She's got you figured out. I like that.
Yeah, I guess so.
Candy Teeth Radio, we're back. Back in action.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm super excited. This one's going to be fun. It's we got Daniel Blue in the studio.
Hello, happy to be here.
Happy to be here. And we got Jerry Hyman in studio, too.
Hi, how are you?
Real good.
Real good. And we Jeff Wheat, too. Don't forget.
As always.
I have a plan tonight to go up into we're in the post office building, and so I want to go into the entranceway. It's like the hallway, and it's really echoey and crazy when we go up there and yell stuff and record it, but we're going to go up there and record Daniel doing a song up there a little bit later. Yeah.
Just one?
Just one. Well, we're going to get the encore.
Do the
entire crowd was on its feet.
Because there were
more.
No chairs.
First thing we have to get into here is that you just recorded some songs at Abbey Road Studios?
Yeah.
Wow.
The most famous studio in the world.
Yeah.
Is that what it says on the website? That's what I saw.
Is that what it says?
That's what it says underneath
the name. That's corny.
You can tell it's true because they say
it. It's true, yeah.
Yeah, well.
I saw it on the internet.
Yeah. I saw it on the internet. We need to just get into that. Like, what?
Yeah.
How?
For sure.
Let's start with how.
So, you want the long version or the short version or the medium version?
I like medium.
The medium to long?
Yeah, medium to long, because I can edit down long.
So, on sort of a strange fluke, there was a song off of the first Motor Pony record that got popular in India. And so, India called and wanted us to come over.
That was Euphoria?
Yeah, that was Euphoria.
All right.
Sorry.
No, that's okay.
And it was to play a festival called NH7, which is the name of a highway in India. It runs kind of north to south. And the reason they named it after the highway is because the festival travels all around from city to city, sort of like Coachella. See, this is a long version. I can't help myself.
That's all right.
At any rate, I always wanted to do London.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm going to be a big deal in England. That would be cool. And so on the way to India, we stopped in London for like 14 days and just like got an Airbnb and just hit the streets and tried to make it happen.
Yeah.
And we were invited by like somebody who came to our first show to meet a producer at Abbey Road that has like a residency room at Abbey Road. His name is Rob Cass. Rob Cass just got done at that point doing an album for Jack Bruce, who's a bass player for Cream. Also,
yeah.
Like, did all the singing and wrote a lot of the songs. So, he was talking about Jack Bruce dying, and I was talking about how I sing about death, and we just bonded.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't always sing about death, but
yeah.
That's what we bonded over. And he's Irish, and, like, he's crazy, man. Like, super cool guy. But, like, his dad was in the IRA and stuff. And I don't know if I'm allowed to tell those stories, but I love him. He's like,
I think it was he had an IRA.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
I don't know what that means, but it's investment terminology.
Account.
Yeah, independent retirement account. At any rate, so we clicked. And the band recorded like a half a day's worth of material. Cause we and that was cool. We call it Naked at the Abbey because it's like stripped down Motor Pony songs.
Can we play a song right now from it?
Yes.
And the only source of water is the love you find at home. And if you live alone, then brother, you had better take a lover or go out and find your home among the artist and the bum. The truth is you can't live inside your head, and to be alone is worse than being dead, and that website won't replace the breaking bread. That's what he said. said. He said. Love each other. Please love one another. And if you ever take the train below the surface of your brain, you'll know the heartache and the pain are worth the loving you'll receive. Because to be with people, man, is to take life into your hands. It never works out quite as planned, but well, it will lead you to believe that the truth is you can't live inside your head. And to be alone is worse than being dead. Sober up, you'll see this city is a desert, and the only source of water is the love you find at home.
That was awesome.
So,
whoa.
I'm glad you guys like that. So, you know, then Rob's like, you have a really good voice. And I'm like, I like when people tell me that.
Let's be friends.
But it was really spiritual being there. You know, like, so that's the fucking... It is. It's Abbey Road.
That's the
you
gist.
You just get around
that's
that. And there's, like, pictures of the... best of the giants, yeah. You know, the big ones.
Yeah.
What was it like in there?
Rock and roller.
Let's just talk about that. Who's like in these pictures, you know, like.
You got your Mick Jaggers.
Yeah.
You got your Elton Johns.
Yep. Everybody that's a.
You got you got the Beats and the Stones and the you know, the Who and all of them.
Anybody
and
else?
Queen
yeah.
and Pink wow. Floyd and, you know, in the room we were in, Pink Floyd made Dark Side of the Moon in that room. Yeah. So I'm singing into the mic that potentially John Lennon sang Imagine on. Andrew's playing the Steinway piano that John Lennon did play Imagine on.
Uh-huh.
And the room that Dark Side of the Moon was made on. And we're just like,
that's crazy.
Yeah, you know, we're just a band
Let's just trip out. Let's just trip out and do something awesome.
That's incredible.
It was awesome. And everybody's, you know, it was pretty charged.
Yeah.
So I'm friends with this guy now, and he works there. He's like, you know, he's got a room there. And, yeah. And so we, you know, are talking about me coming over and doing a solo record for like a year. And every once in a while he'd be like, well, so-and-so from the Rolling Stones might come in, or Ginger Baker wants to make a record, and I don't really know if I'm ready to, you know... Because, you know, Jack Bruce and Ginger Baker were both in Cream, and they kind of had this, like, antagonistic relationship. And if Jack Bruce made a record with Rob Cass, well, then you bet Ginger Baker's going to come make a record with Rob Cass to, like, really show him, you know. And so, I don't know. There's a lot of drama over there in the UK, but it's cool stuff. This is rock and roll history stuff,
yeah.
You know. And I loved it. And point is... We talked about it for a year, and I didn't think it was going to happen. I was, like, kind of refused to believe it was going to happen. And
right.
Then I was just sort of like, wow, I blew all my money, and I'm an idiot. And now I'm sober, and it's clearly not going to happen because I fucked it up, and I'm dumb. And then it happened anyway. Because everybody was like, no, you have to go. And I was like, but I'm broke. Here's some money. But I don't have a place to stay. Here's a place to stay. And I was like...
All the things, all the blocks you were trying to put
but
up.
But I'm sober and I don't have any confidence. Get over yourself. Go make a freaking record.
But I don't like the flavor of tea they have in the cupboard at the place that you gave me to live.
Yeah, the free living place. It might not be the right tea.
Well, there's a tea shop just downstairs. Yep.
It's England. There's a lot of tea. Go. So I went. And I was there for 18 days.
Yeah.
And I stayed with the producer, Rob Cass, and his assistant... is named Pierce McIntyre.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Pierce is super good on the beats, and we did the beats, and then we, you know, laid the guitar, and the whole thing just happened.
Awesome.
And it was the weirdest work I've ever done.
Mm-hmm.
It was really pro and not unpro.
At the same time.
I like that.
And, yeah, now there's sort of, I'm sitting on a record, it's, you know, it's got some, like, bells and whistles that need to come on. I'd say about half the tracks aren't quite all the way done, but I'm going back in July.
Nice.
I don't know if I'll have it done before that, but I'm going back to promote it. Because I kind of want to, like...
Move over there. I mean, not move.
Well, I was thinking... New office. If Donald Trump becomes president, guys like me aren't going to be very popular in this country anymore.
No.
And it might be okay for me to just go to England for a while.
Not that Donald they've Trump got bomb, it. Bombs it.
We laugh.
Yeah, we do laugh.
I guess. Right?
Or predict the future. Yeah, that's all getting ridiculous. Let's not get into it.
Yeah.
Let's just have a moment. I wanted to do this. In class today, I had all the kids do this. I was like, this is totally legal. But and so they all perk up and like listen to you if you say that. And then I said, we're going to take a moment to just focus... on Donald Trump not being the president, all of us together. And they just all went, yeah, okay. And we did a weird prayer.
Even teenagers know.
Yeah, they're down. They're not, they don't like that idea.
I mean, they don't know anything.
Hmm. But he's going to make America great.
Yeah, why don't they want a great America?
Oh, you're right.
Again.
Don't you remember those pictures you saw where America was great?
Let's do that again.
It's kind of a grass is greener sort of situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Probably always.
Yeah.
You're going to go over there and be like, oh, man.
I like it over there. Don't get me wrong.
Sucks.
I felt like very at home over there, especially when I was drinking hard.
Yeah.
But it's a little different being over there, being a sober person. That was a little different. But, you know, so is everything.
Yeah, I was just
so is
say.
Like going to bed and brushing your teeth. It was like really different.
So much more fun smoking weed and brushing your teeth.
That's true. So yeah, that and I wish I could show you that music, but I can't yet.
Yeah.
Well, the other stuff I've been able to leak and squeak, but this I'm holding my cards to my chest right now.
I love it.
Yeah. So it's good. I did 14 songs over there, and
cool.
It turned out kind of a little like a little darker than I thought it was going to.
Yeah.
It's kind of got like a almost sort of Appalachian.
Is this the first
Creole? Like, which doesn't have nothing to do with me, does it?
Well,
am I dark?
I think you probably have a dark side like everybody, right? You know? And I think if you get sober, it's probably easier to get to it.
That sucks.
That's what I would think.
Yeah. I thought it was the other way around.
That's when you weren't sober.
That's true.
Now you got a clear head. Wait, was this your first, like, making music sober experience? Like, creating music?
No. No. Like, throughout, I mean, I've kind of known I had it.
Yeah.
The gene, you know, the defect.
The disease.
Yeah, the disease. I was like, shoot, I probably got that. Because I have a lot of family members that got it, and I grew up learning about it, and I just knew I knew I had it. And so I was like, let's just take it real slow and milk it out before it gets bad. Let's still have some fun. But, you know, and then there were a few times I sort of scared myself, and I back way off. And then there were just periods where I just was like kind of adopted a, for lack of a better term, sort of a spiritual way of living that was working, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't need help from the chemical side of things. And I think right around the time I wrote the first album, I was pretty dried up.
Oh, and, cool. That's cool to me.
And I can look back at like different points in my life and be like, oh man, I made a lot of progress right in there. Oh yeah, and I was sober. That's weird. You know, so it's been sort of a, you know, off and on. And yet I haven't come out publicly and been like, I am an addict and an alcoholic. And I can say to that today, like, it's very clear to me. I crossed the line last summer.
Yeah.
And I went there. And I am. And it doesn't, you know, I don't think you just get to come back. What's weird is I had a dream. There were two trains that were running parallel. And one was like the fun, sexy train.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
And there was like all the, you know, cards and strippers and all, you know, all the shit was on that train, the fun stuff.
Yeah.
And then on the other train, it just was kind of like you set up straight and you. Yeah. And I didn't really know what it was for, but it was going somewhere. And that everybody on that train was like, it just felt a little boring, but it felt like it maybe had some purpose, but it was just like, the journey part wasn't like, you know.
It was and just it, in the trees on the sides.
I guess. Like, I don't even really remember that train in the dream other than like, you couldn't smoke. You know, and that was a big deal. So I kept crawling through the window to get to the other train. I'd party for a while, and then I'd be like, oh, God, I have to fucking get some sleep. So I'd go over to the other train and, like, straighten up for a while. And this happened, and then I could see way down the way there was a slowly, like, going apart from each other. And it was harder and harder to get over from one train to the other. And then there was, like, you know, 90-degree turns. They were like, there's no, you better decide which fucking train you're on. There, it comes a time where you just don't get to play, you know, back and forth, and that happened. And now I'm on the sober train, and I have no idea where it's going. Brush my teeth is weird. So hang out on the party train.
Listen
and
to
hope
the
you don't get an accident. That you can change.
It's crazy, like, I meet these people now, because I was like, you know, it's one thing to be like, oh, I'm going to be sober. I'm not going to do no more drugs. And that's another thing to, like, be alive.
After that?
Yeah. I'm like, the problem guy is still in the band. You know?
Yeah.
And my, you know, all the reasons don't go away. They're still there. And so there's like, okay, well, now I got to have, there's got to be a way to do life without, you know, without it just being boring and terrible and miserable and stressed and, you know, and that's where I was like, I'm just going to need some help.
Yeah.
And I,
so what do you do for help?
Yeah. I started going to AA.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Which is weird.
Yeah.
Do you have a sponsor?
I do. Yeah, I have a sponsor. I have a higher power. Because it's like, you got to.
You have to, yeah. That's what it seems like, especially in that program.
But it's true.
Like, yeah.
I mean, for me, it was like, I had one all along. It was drugs. You know, I needed the thing to fix it, and I went to the thing, and it fixed it. And that was great, you know? And luckily, the higher power doesn't, I don't have to call it maintenance guy, Jesus. You know? It just gets to be something larger than myself.
Like, to me, it seems like I don't feel like I'm doing the wrong thing or missing out on something. I feel like they're crazy. And, like, you sound dumb. You know what I'm saying? And there's so many smart people that sound dumb when they talk about that stuff.
Yeah.
That, like, it makes it where I'm, like, feeling sorry for him while he's begging to save my life. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, where I'm like, dude, you sound so dumb and you just keep talking.
Well, there's, you know, he's become convinced.
Oh, yeah.
That, you know, of an idea that if you don't agree with him, you're going to be in the crevasse.
Mm-hmm.
and he also is like, probably just likes you.
No, he does like me. That's the thing about it. That's the crazy part.
That's really sad.
Yeah. Yes.
Ultimately. Because it's like he has to, like, now he has to fix you.
Yeah, and he has to do all the stuff that makes me not like him.
Yeah, which it just pushes you away. Instead of just, like, maybe he could be your friend.
Yeah.
Exactly. And enjoy being your friend since he likes you.
Yeah. But he wants to take you with him.
Yeah.
But you're not going to go.
Forever. You know how long forever is?
Forever?
Mm-hmm.
A hell of a long time.
Let me see what else I wanted to talk to you about, though. That Abbey Road. I wanted to talk about sobriety, and I think he did good on that already.
What? I had a couple of questions on the solo record, too, real quick.
Sure.
So did you have, like, a bunch of songs written, or did you, like, write stuff while you were there?
So, since I started writing songs...
Right.
I've been in this band.
Yeah.
Called Motor Pony. And not everything I write gets to... makes it past the cutting floor, as it were. And it's not right. You know, it's not right. It's like too personal or it's too weird or, you know, it's not rock and roll enough. And so I counted 56 unrecorded songs that then I pared down to 30, that then I pared down to like 25. Mm-hmm. And I took those 25 to New York and made demos in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And then I sent those demos to Abbey Road, to Rob Cass, and he listened to them. And then we argued a lot. Not really, but we discussed it. And we picked, like, maybe 20.
Right.
And then I got there, and we did 14.
Oh, that's
so
awesome.
So just, like, real slow, kind of, like...
Process.
Yeah, process of elimination. You can't do all 56 songs.
It would have been nice. I really thought I was going to do all 56 songs, but I was also high.
Well, plus, if they're not all, like, you know, 30 seconds long... You know,
yeah.
Just, it was like a Guided by Voices record or something.
There's the Magnetic Fields, like 64 love songs. That guy's just a genius, though. Maybe I'm not, and that's okay. I'm just a guy.
I'm just a guy.
Maybe I'm just a guy.
Well, God, they got to save up a bunch of his favorite songs that he wrote and go record them at Abbey Road.
I'm surprised I was smart enough not to forget them. Because,
come on, you forget them sometimes. Come on.
Oh, no. I don't remember. I couldn't listen for you. But, like, I wrote them down and stuff. Yeah. Like, I did the work part, you know? Like, I kept track
of
stuff.
Homework.
There's probably some that just didn't even get remembered, and that was probably the first cut. Well, if I couldn't remember it, then
yeah,
it's not that good.
It's the invisible first cut.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
What was your other question, Joe?
Well, then, and it was going to be a follow-up question. It was, if you didn't record them there or make them up there in the studio, what did you do? And then you pretty much explained all that.
Sweet.
And more, so that's good. It's cool that the concept for me of, like, that you stored them all up for a long time and, like, had a whole pile of them to choose from.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird in that some, you know, this is new music to everybody else, but, like, Darkhorn, for instance... I wrote that before Motor Pony was even named a band.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's weird that it's just like, oh, like, this is old. You know, this is like one of the first songs I wrote.
Yeah.
But that's so cool too.
Are there like any songs in the batch that are like ones that you wrote when you weren't sober?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
This summer I was crazy.
Right.
Okay. I was like full on, yeah, which is fun. I was full on up. I was awake. I was blitzed. Right. I was moving stuff around in my studio and calling it art. I was gluing dolls together. You know, I was dripping wax on stuff. Oh, I found, man, like 18 pounds of wax in Portland. Yeah. I brought it home. I melted it and dripped it on stuff. You know, I was, and the walls were falling over. and then I was just, I was wandering around. Oh, man.
Alright, we're good.
We good?
Yeah, we're good. Well, it's a great trip. Yeah.
It's just a wall falling.
I'd be wandering around and I'd just turn on my recorder.
Yes.
And that's, you know, out. You guys heard some of that.
Yeah.
Last time I was here.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I was pretty, like, that was probably the, right at the tipping point into
the dark.
Unintelligibly crazy. Right is wrong, up is down. Bongo world I went to after. I mean, it's laughable, but it was kind of a scary place. I was like, I know what I'll do. I'll put some stuff in this box, and then I'll throw this box off the roof into the gap between the buildings, and then I won't be able to get to it. And I'd spend the whole next day building a fishing pole to get the box out. You know, I was just like, it was happening, man. I was like, I was that guy.
Wow.
And I always have been that guy, but I just finally matured into
like the full
grace. Yeah. I fed him out of his cage for a while. Anyway. So yeah, some of the songs came from that. And like
right.
There was a period where I would sit down, pick up the guitar, and bam, you know, a song would come out. I was like, sweet.
Yeah.
This is awesome.
This is very convenient.
This is incredibly convenient. I'm like super energized. I feel great. I have great thoughts. I'm thinking really clear. And I'm moving forward, and it's awesome, and I'm making lots of progress. Meanwhile, I hadn't showered in like a month, and my wife was getting ready to like divorce me. You know, because I didn't come home.
Uh-huh.
And you're fishing off the roof.
And I'm fishing. Yeah, underwear. I was like, it was bad.
Daniel, it's raining. Come inside. I need the box.
Yeah.
It's down there.
You're my wife. Help me.
She's like, you climbed up a ladder past the box to get up where you're at right now. Come down.
Something Ooh. Bad was happening.
All right.
But, you know, I'll take the good, too.
Yeah, of course. That's yeah. what I was kind of thinking that would be your attitude, because, like,
I'm not going to not release the song because I was high when I wrote
it. Yeah, no. And that's not what I was saying. I was just, like, more of, like, on a personal level, like, what is it, like, would any, are any of them, like, weird for you to perform now, do you think? Or will they be weird for you to perform?
That's a good question. I mean, Hopefully I made myself I
plant that seed just now.
Well, in October, was like my like, you know, I'm gonna be on the sober train forever.
Mm-hmm.
And
was that an abrupt change?
Yeah.
I mean, like, that's it. You just flipped.
Yeah, and it kind of had to be everything. It had to be, all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went to the mountains, and I spent a few weeks in the mountains. And then I went to New York and bought a pack of cigarettes as soon as I landed on them. And I threw them away. And then I got to, you know, somebody's house, and I thought there was weed in their house. I tore it apart, and I couldn't find it. And I was like, man, I am a junkie, man. So if there was ever a doubt.
Here it is.
It's
in front of me.
and then I'd like kind of, you know, there was one other time, on November 10th, I like was in L.A., and I was just like, who cares? And I, like, drank a lot and got 3 parking tickets in one day, and, like, and it just didn't feel good, you know? It was just like, either you're doing it or you're not, you know? At some point, either you do, like, there had to be integrity, you know? There had to be, like, I had to be true to myself for once, and that was hard, but I did it. And then I was like, I fucking need help, because I'm crazy. And so
and it shows after you take the thing off.
But you know, I was I'm in between going to New York and recording those songs and going to Abbey Road. I was in on the West Coast, like, playing shows, making myself do it.
Right.
Because I didn't want to get to Abbey Road having never performed these songs. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it didn't feel right. Like, mm-hmm. not knowing what the audience thought, not knowing what I really thought of them sober. So I sort of, like, set it up so that, which, and it was hard, man. Like,
yeah.
talking about sleeping in the bed you made. I was like, you know, I was in San Diego and, like, way out on a limb and kind of out. You know, I'd blown up a van and I had...
Like, with used explosives on purpose?
No, just driving it. And then borrowed somebody's car that happened to be in the town. And, you know, I was way, way out. I was deep into this tour and it was starting to fall apart. I called you guys.
I was just going to say, that's when we talked to you.
Yeah. I was trying to get bailouts from all over town.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and that just was like, it's weird. I thought that playing in this backyard with all these, you know, people who owned a winery.
Yeah.
Was going to be like the highlight.
Right.
And then I just felt like alone. I was, like, deeply lonely, and I was cold, and I didn't want to sleep outside, and it probably would have been fine if I was wasted, you know, but, and I probably could have, like, snuggled up against somebody.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I didn't, that isn't really as appealing for some reason, you know, when you don't know them, and you're sober.
And your wife's at home.
And you have a wife.
That part.
Who you're trying to make things better with.
Yeah.
She's the most wonderful thing in your life, and you forgot that for a second.
Uh-huh.
When you weren't showering for all summer.
Yeah.
And, because I had to glue these dolls together.
Yeah. Really important. Believe me, I feel you.
Yeah.
Can't you, like, go crazy in the wintertime, shower in the summer?
I don't know. I don't know if I had, like, a season. Yeah, well, that'd be nice, but...
Yeah, I mean, if we could go back and do it, that's
awesome. I lost my... Anyway.
Yeah.
So, to answer your question, I made myself do the due diligence. Mm-hmm. You know, if I'm going to go to Abbey Road...
Yeah. You were proving it to yourself.
Yeah.
Well, and plus, if you're going to be a professional, you know, and you've been invited to this legendary place...
Yeah.
You got to do it.
And... Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to do it, but you have to do it right, you know? And so you don't want to show up like, hey, I'm cool, I'm Daniel. Like,
that's how I felt when I got there, though. I was like, I have a 3-string guitar, sir. I'm from America. We're going to vote for Trump. And they were like, sweet, sit down. Let's make some bloody music, mate. And we went and we did it. Yeah. I was just like, I do not belong here whatsoever. And... I'm making a fool of myself.
I don't think they thought that.
Oh, maybe they did.
I can't wait to hear that music.
You wouldn't have been invited back.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good point. I was there with my band. And my band sort of covers a lot of my deficiencies in the actual musician department.
Uh-huh. Well, you got these producers that you're working with, right?
They knew the score. They knew what was up. Yeah. I had nobody fooled.
Right.
But me.
Yeah.
The only fooling I did was that I thought I had everybody fooled the whole time. You know, they know where I start and where I end, and that I'm a man, and I'm not some big, puffed-up, imaginary legend of myself.
Uh-huh.
At least not yet.
Yeah.
It was a lot easier to do my job when I was a big, puffed-up, imaginary legend. That's what.
Yeah.
Instead of just being a person with feelings.
Mm-hmm. I want to hug you, man.
Yeah. You can. Come here.
No, I'm okay. Not ready.
All right. Well.
That was a good talk. Let's get the... Should we try to get up there and see if we can record a song up in this hallway?
If you want to.
It's not really a hallway, though. It's more like a foyer.
I'd say it's more of a hallway.
Damn it. I want a cooler word.
Marble encased.
Ooh.
Hallway.
Yeah, there we go. That is cooler. You took it up a level.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hyman.
So we'll play Molly while we take this out. Move upstairs.
All right.
I got the live one from New York.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'll play that one.
That's good.
Jeremy captured this audio while he was on assignment in New York for City Arts magazine covering the band's accelerated rise in 2010, shortly after they were signed by a New York label. This is a very early version of the song Molly, and also the first time Daniel pulled it out of his box of tricks. Check out Jeremy's story and illustration by searching Motopony Takes New York and City Arts magazine.
Uncle Eli brought his Molly to the dance. He let me take her hand and laughed us into a trance. From her I found out things I was afraid to know. That lovely Molly set a fire in my soul. Can you contain it? Your desire only grows. Molly, Molly, I finally feel at home. Molly, Molly, I can't leave you alone. I can't leave you alone. She shows up now and then at parties here and there, participating in the love that we all share. My thoughts about her are a dangerous affair. Old Uncle Eli, he don't really seem to care. I'll introduce you, but I'm warning you, beware. Molly, Molly, I finally feel at home. Molly, Molly, I can't leave you alone. I can't leave you alone. Sometimes I wonder if she isn't just a trick, some sweet illusion of a world that cannot stay. Twixt her and stillness would the wisest of us pair. You'll know her pleasure if you want to take the risk. I turn back to her and ask for another kiss. I turn back to her and ask for another kiss. I turn back to her and ask for another kiss. I turn back to her and ask for another passionate kiss. Oh, Molly, Molly, I finally feel at home. I can't leave you alone. 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 Oh, 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 oh.
Thank you.
That's just straight in, too. Yeah, I don't know how I landed on it. Just magic, I guess. It was what worked and what showed up. I sold the 253 hard for this guitar.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Where are you guys? Brantley Caddy said, where are you guys?
Oh, Brantley used to play that.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. He was watching. I'm going to say post office building for life.
Sweet, I don't know. It's live.
The concert. He used to do a concert.
Worldwide superstar concert. Thanks. That was one of the ones that I was so high for so long. And I just, Genevieve came over and she was like talking about how this man didn't treat it right. And I was like, sit down here, girl. And got in the tent that I had in the practice space for some reason. I had the tent.
Inside it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Breath, you know, so I wasn't breathing in the fiberglass or something. And I just pick up a guitar and I was like, you want a motorcycle? And I was like, hang on, I gotta record this. That's how it came out.
Yeah, you got on record.
See, and my hope is that if I just figure myself out a little bit, I'll get back to that place sometime when you just sit down and write songs.
Yeah. All the things she came to you with a story and you like translated it.
Yeah.
But like my friend,
she inspired me for sure. Yeah.
That was awesome. Thanks for doing that.
Yeah, man. That's cool. Wow. That's definitely neat.
So that's one.
Mm-hmm.
Story.
Yeah.
Really cool.
Thanks. All I did was take inspiration, get inspired. I got inspired. And
sounds like something like super real, you know? So.
Yeah. I just gotta be on the lookout for that.
That's all I was trying to say. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's awesome. And that's, you know, what you did to the story after she told it to you. It's something that not everyone can do.
That was our first live deal. That was the first time I ever even tried it with anything. That's awesome.
It's real.
You still recording?
Yeah. So I think we should probably just wrap it up. I think we did really good with this one. But first, I'm going to talk about one little gripe I have.
Okay.
Jerry.
Yes.
Check out this pen. Wait a minute. Where's the Sharpie? I got to show you the Sharpie real quick.
You need a control pen.
Yeah.
You're assuming I can see.
Yeah. I hope you can. But I think you know what it says anyway. You can do the fake out. But so I handed you a Sharpie, right? Black Sharpie?
A Sharpie.
What does it say underneath?
Fine point.
What does it say underneath the Sharpie part?
Permanent marker.
Okay, yeah. Now I'm going to hand you this pen. What does this one say? Sharpie, and then what?
It is a Sharpie. Industrial.
What does it say?
Super permanent.
So
wow.
Sharpie?
That must be.
Fuck off.
Super permanent.
Like
permanent?
Like is more permanent? More permanent than the permanent one.
More permanent than
where'd
the permanent
one. You just
them?
Pay a little extra, you can get the real permanent one.
Industrial super permanent.
It's going to last forever. You just get the permanent one, it's just going to last forever.
Like when the rock that you drew that on,
super
like,
permanent.
Crumbles to dust.
I couldn't let that pass.
It was still
I couldn't let that pass. Uh-huh. That's not okay, Sharpie. I'm on to you.
There's going to be...
And I'm doing tests. I'm doing tests right now.
We're in the midst of some testing. I like it.
R&D. What about, do you have some music that we can play on the way out of this?
I might be able to just whip something up real quick.
Play with your feet.
Let me just turn this thing on.
Play it with your feet.
With my feet?
Yeah.
You still with the band?
Oh, yeah.
Motor Pony?
Yeah.
That's it. Can you do your own thing?
Yeah, that's the thing is like, we all kind of are both in the band and doing our own thing, which is cool.
That is cool.
Yeah. It loosened up a little, which is nice. Most of the people started having babies.
That slows it.
And that, yeah.
I mean, loosens it.
It loosens it up a little bit.
So, Daniel, thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me again.
That was really fun.
This is a different one.
It was great.
It was a little less psychedelic.
Different style.
Yeah, different style.
But I might just make a mashup of the old one, though, to play at the after this whole thing's over.
Yeah.
Just a little mashup.
I mean, remember Jungle Jimmy?
Yeah, Jungle Jimmy's, that's a hit. I might just add it into this one.
Yeah. It's, that's real.
That is real.
It is real.
We made that, it's about Vietnam.
Yep.
And everything.
I'll add it in. I'm adding it in after this.
Everything. I love it.
Thanks for coming, Jerry.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for being
here,
Jerry.
Yeah, nice to finally meet you.
Thanks to the post office building for being so cool.
Yeah.
We did the live feed for the first time ever.
Thanks. Yep. Thanks, Facebook, for ripping off Periscope. Making it just a little bit easier. Didn't have to open a Periscope account.
Nope.
Just got to do
press
it.
Press a button.
Stay tuned for more of those. That's a really fun little outlet we can add.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll have to have you back again forever. Is that a good deal?
Sure.
All right.
Cool.
Like permanently forever or super industrial permanently?
No, just permanently.
What made you notice it?
Because it's red. And it's like, cool.
Who reads it?
I do.
Obviously.
And I don't read a lot of stuff. But
and
that one,
they cost more? The super industrial
of
permanent?
Of course. It's more than permanent?
Is it like, more than is it different ink?
It's super permanent.
That's why I'm doing tests. Yeah. It's in testing right now.
Oh.
It's
I'm
going to
do some outside
ink.
Weather tests. I'm just all kinds of shit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm figuring it out.
Yeah.
Get some free Sharpies out of it. But they'll only give me the permanent
or some
ones.
Death threats.
Oh, that's true.
No, I mean, no press is bad press. They're going to be stoked that you're, like, talking about Sharpie.
Oh, this podcast is sponsored by Sharpie. Well, anyways, there's no more music.
No, it ran out.
Is the show over?
That's it. So we just,
it's a wrap.
At the
now
end,
what?
We just say, stay alive.
Stay
that's,
alive.
Like, the main thing. Not everybody listens, but we'd say it.
Mm-hmm.
Who hasn't listened?
All my grandpa old. Didn't listen. He listened for a while, though, for a long time.
Well, stay alive.
We would say keep the faith.
Yeah.
Different generation.
What did your generation have faith in?
We had to.
Yeah.
We were after World War II.
Yeah.
Had to just have
so
it.
You had to have hope. Everything was good. You know, I love Lucy and everything.
Yeah.
That's the way it was.
50s. I'm reading a book about that right now. Stephen
Are
King
you?
Novel, yeah.
Which one?
This guy goes back in time to stop Lee Harvey Oswald. But
oh, I heard.
He lands.
Yeah,
yeah. He lands in like 58. And so, yeah, he just sort of was like.
He's got to kick it.
He's got to kick it in 58 for, yeah, like. 4 or 5 years or something.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah, so it's like a lot about, you know, the culture and stuff. Apparently, people smoked a lot of cigarettes. It's just hard to read about when you just quit smoking.
They're all there. They grabbed another cigarette and felt so contented.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you like to have one too, reader?
Dang it, Stephen King. Meanwhile, he's like stressing you out, you know. And then a guy murdered his family with a sledgehammer. Blah! And he was like,
Did you know that Stephen King had a crazy, gnarliest accident ever? Have you ever heard about it?
A gnarliest accident ever?
The gnarliest, craziest,
like
whatever is.
Car accident?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was it?
He was walking in Maine. He was walking on the side of the road and got hit by a van.
Whoa.
At full speed.
What?
With no brakes involved. Flew through the air like some crazy amount of feet. You hear my storytelling?
Wow.
Yeah, that's far. And, like, had everything was broken. He's been that dude before?
What?
No, I didn't
it's
know
true,
that.
You gotta look that up.
And he lived?
Google that.
Is that
yeah, he's alive right now.
Is that where Misery came from?
What the hell kind of van?
The van where the guy was messing with the dog. The dog was doing something. And so, like, he was messing with the dog in the back seat or something. He had his head
car
turned.
Van?
Oh. A van. Yeah, like a van, like a personal van.
Right. Thank you.
Time to pay up, Jimmy. Time to give it to Ghost. Time to cash it in, Jimmy. It's time to settle your post. It's time to take it off, Jimmy. Go ahead and put it in the bath. It's time to fuck around, Jimmy. Let it ride out of your ass. Time to get it out, Jimmy. Time to make it big. Time to go on the road, Jimmy. Go and get in your rig. You're gonna have to leave the weapon, baby. Gonna make it large. Gonna build your house and castle, baby. On the highway, on the barge. You're a gypsy, Jimmy. Get back to your roots. Jimmy is a gypsy, baby. And you and the law's in cahoots. Get it, baby, Jimmy. Get it, Jimmy, baby. Pray a poppy pippy. Holy crazy, Jimmy. I'm gonna take it up on the liquor pot, I get it.
Wang Yu Diu Liang, I had you at the car earlier. We threw to the edits, we do true. I'm confirmed with the record earlier, I done. Jimmy.
Back on the front line, Jimmy. You're gonna make a few goals. Get out your guns, Jimmy. Get out your canteen. Pack your parachute, Jimmy. We're dropping you behind the green.
Now you're in the jungle, Jimmy.